I appreciate everybody being here in the Lord's house today. And I desire your prayers. I want to look in this chapter and read. There's quite a bit that I'd like to be able to cover. Of course, I know I'm not going to be able to do that. But we'll just see how far that we can go with this tonight. But let me, for sake of time, start in verse 7. John 16 and verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And I guess I want to look at this evening and talk to us about, hear what Jesus said, the Holy Spirit would show us things to come. Show us things to come. And I'm not necessarily talking tonight about the things that would be to come. Maybe the Lord will let us get into some of that. But that's mostly a different message. But the thought of him being the one to bring us the truth, the Holy Spirit. When we look here, the Lord is, of course, the one speaking to his disciples. And he's telling them many things. He had started back in chapter 13 telling them some things, but chapter 14 is really when he started picking up some more teaching on these truths that he wanted them to know. And all the way until chapter 17 of John, when he gets to the place where he prays the Father for them and for us. John 17 is the true Lord's Prayer. It's where the Lord prayed to the Heavenly Father and prayed for us. Now, Jesus told his disciples, and he said that it was expedient for you. Now, he's talking to his disciples. I understand that. But it's expedient for us as well that he go away. And the reason why, he said, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. You see, Jesus had taken on an earthly body. earthly body. And because of him taking on that earthly body, he couldn't be everywhere at one time. But the Holy Spirit can be everywhere at one time. And through the Spirit of Christ, Christ is with us through him. In all of us. And so look at these things that he says here. He's the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, he is called, the Comforter, the Paraclete, one called alongside to help. That's what that means. He is our comfort. See, they were discomforted knowing that Jesus was going away. But the Holy Spirit was going to bring that comfort of Christ back to them. He is going to tell them things that Jesus said. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. I mean, they were having problems even understanding in this chapter what he was saying. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But the Holy Spirit, he calls him, and he's talking about him a lot in chapter 14, 15, 16. In 15, he said in verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So the Spirit of God proceeds from the Father through the Son to you and I. That's how he comes. He comes from the Father through the Son unto you and I. But it's Christ, that's how he gives us the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to say something about what the Spirit of truth, in verse 13 of chapter 16, he shall not speak of himself. Now, I know it's true that Jesus said this. He said, he shall testify of me. Now, we preachers, and I'm one of them, sometimes we hear somebody else say something and we think, well, he's smarter than I am. He must know what he's talking about. That the Spirit of God would never speak of himself, but he does speak of himself. He speaks of the truth. He testifies of Christ. What this means, look at it closely. When he said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. What does that mean? He shall not speak of himself. He's going to answer it. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. In other words, the Holy Spirit is just not saying things of himself. He hears what the Father says to say, and that's what he says. As the Son did always those things that the Father bid him to do and said the things that the Father told him to say, The Holy Spirit works exactly the same way. He's just not off on his own speaking truth. He hears the truth from the Father and then reveals the truth to you and I. He prays through us to the Father, doesn't he? And he reveals to us the truth from the Father. That's what he meant when he said, he shall not speak of himself. That means, again, whatsoever he hears, that shall he speak. What he hears from God, the Father, he is God the Spirit. But whatever he hears from God the Father, that is what he speaks. Amen? That's pretty plain to see, isn't it? I love it when I see something like that. Amen? He will show you things to come. Things to come. Listen, only the Father knows. Only the Father knows the day that Jesus is coming back. Isn't that right? The Holy Spirit is not going to tell us the day until the Father tells him. Today's the day. Amen. Come up hither. Time to go up. He'll speak that he hears. Amen. He's going to show us things to come. He shows us the truth. He guides us into truth. And he will show us things to come. Now, hadn't he shown the apostles things to come? He showed them the working of the church. He miraculously showed Paul things to come. He showed John things to come. The book of the Revelation. That was revealed. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It's the Spirit of God that revealed to John things to come. And if we get it, listen, he hears it of the Father and reveals it to us. God is not divided from his word. He's the Father and the Word, or the Son and the Holy Spirit. These three agree in one. They're not ever going to say something different from one another. Why is that? Because the Father is the one that tells them what they should say to us, what they should reveal to us, what the Holy Spirit would reveal to the apostles, the things to come. How he would lead them and guide them in truth. He's here to reprove the world or convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And listen, if you think about it, that this is pretty simple to understand. Of sin, because they believe not on me. He's going to reprove them of sin because they believe not on Jesus. What does that have to do with sin? He's the only one to take away sin. He was the sacrifice for sin. He died for all men's sin. So if they don't believe on him, they got to be judged of sin. Sin that he would have taken. Sin that he had paid. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father. Righteousness, the gift of our Lord's imputed righteousness. I mean, we can't go to God except our righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, which exceeds the law. What righteousness is there that would exceed that? The righteousness of Christ. Our righteousness must be the righteousness of Christ. It cannot be our own righteousness that we stand before God Lord, I did. No. That's what was wrong with those people. Lord, have we not done many wonderful works? Have we not? Have we not lived without sin? Have we not kept your law? Have we not? And what they should have said was, God, have we not trusted your Son for our righteousness? It is his, so we'll be judged of righteousness, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. There remains only judgment for those that are unforgiven and stand in their own righteousness. That's the only thing that can remain, judgment. There's nothing else for people. Judgment. And because the prince of this world is judged, listen, he doesn't have anything to offer neither. There's a group of people, listen, in this world today, they think the principalities and the powers of the air can somehow overthrow God. Are you listening to me? I was reading in the book of Revelation last night, Brother Mike, and when the beast and the false prophet comes and the dragon, he gives power unto the beast, and he stands and he blasphemes God and he mocks anything concerning faith or God's temple. Are you listening to me? As if this is all fake. I am the one with power. He's going to blaspheme and curse God. Listen, as if to say he has all this. Many people's going to believe him. He's going to be judged of the judge. Amen. The great judge. Amen. There's nothing but judgment left for them. Now the Holy Spirit reveals this. He come to convict us. To reprove it. To convict us. To show us our need of Christ. Your need of Christ. You need Christ. You need Christ. You need Jesus Christ. Because he alone can pay for your sin, can wash them away. Only he alone. Your goodness, your righteousness is as filthy rags. You cannot stand before God and say, I'm as good as anybody else. You probably are. And that's why you'll go to hell. Because the goodness of anybody ain't good enough to get to heaven. There's none good, no, not one. In man's goodness, listen, there's one good, that's God. Our Lord Jesus, amen? It's his goodness, his righteousness. You need Jesus Christ. You'll stand at the judgment, judged for your sin and your unrighteousness and your rejection of the one way, Jesus Christ. You need him. He is your comforter, your paraclete. He is the one called alongside you to stand at your side. To stand at our side before God. He is our intercessor. He is our lawyer, so to speak. Amen. But greater than just what you'd say to the lawyer here in this world. But look what the Lord said. He said in verse 13, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Christ again. In verse 12, he said, I have yet many things to say unto you. So the things to come and the truth are those many things that Jesus wanted to say to them. The Holy Spirit is there to enable the believer to be able to remember. He told his disciples, he said he would bring to your memory in chapter 14, I believe it is 26, he said that he would bring to your memory all things that I have said unto you. 3.5 years worth of conversations he had with them. And the Holy Spirit's going to bring it back to their remembrance. That's something else. I mean, my wife could tell me something today, and by tomorrow I forgot it. Some things I can remember. But some things I'm like, are you sure you told me? Yeah, I told you that. 3.5 years ago, every word, think about that. That takes the power of the Spirit of Christ to enlighten the mind to that extent. To be able to bring to their memory every word that he had spoken unto them. And so it was needed for the future ministry. It would be needed in the transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Amen? I was looking at this. You find this here in John. Look at verse 16, 17, 18, and 19. 7 times he says, look at verse 16, a little while. And ye shall not see me. And again, a little while. And ye shall see me because I go to the Father. Verse 17, then said some of the disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father. Verse 18, they said therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and he said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. That's speaking of his death and his resurrection. And then, listen, it's also speaking, and we'll read the rest of it. If you know, it's also speaking about his going away. His appearing after 40 days and then being taken up from them. He's showing them a little while. A little while. And I looked up that word in the Greek and the Hebrew, a little while, and it's just a very short time. I think the word micron comes from that, if I'm not mistaken. So he explained to them at the end of verse 20, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. The woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. What does that sound like? My hour is come. When Jesus was talking about his cross, he said, my hour is come. He told his mother at the beginning of his ministry, my hour is not yet come. Other times he said, my hour is not yet come. But when it came time for the crucifixion, and then it would be the resurrection 3 days later, that was his hour is come. And he uses that analogy. A woman in travail, I saw her, because why? Her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Here, I wanted to get to this. In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Then he told them their hour had come. The hour cometh, and now is come. That was his hour, but also the hour that every man to his own, he shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Now listen, when our Lord told us to pray, he told his disciples, he said, in verse 23, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. This is the day after our Lord goes to the Father. The Holy Spirit is with us. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Why? Because we are washed from our sins by him, saved by him. We have his righteousness upon us. We have escaped judgment through him. We come to the Father. We come not in our own name, but in his name. And when we come in his, he said, hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Up to this point, you've not asked anything in my name. Everything they've asked, they've not asked one thing in Jesus' name. He said, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Ask and use my name. And when you receive, your joy is going to be full. Now look, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but shall speak unto you, shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, verse 26. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, For the Father himself loveth you. Did you hear that? For the Father himself loveth you. Because ye have loved me. God loves us because we love his Son. And have believed that Jesus came from God. I came forth from the Father, and I'm come into the world. We believe that. When we come to the Father, we come in Jesus' name. It's important that everything you ask it in Jesus' name. The Lord's giving us that direction. But it's amazing that our Lord told us it's just a little while that I'm going to be out of your sight, gone away, and you'll see me again. When Jesus died on the cross, he was buried and 3 days later rose again. 3 days. Now, when he ascended to heaven, listen, I know as far as man, 2,000 years seems like a long time. But it's just 2 days with the Lord. He said, just a little while, and you'll see me again. You'll see me again. I'm looking for him, aren't you?
Yes.
Oh, my. Here's what the Lord said. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. That's Hebrews 10:37. Then he said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, just a little while, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's 2 Corinthians 4:17. Now John 14. Verse 16, I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. And shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Same language, yet a little while. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. He will comfort you. Love you. I've loved you. You've loved me. My Father loves you. I'm in the Father. The Father's in me. I'm in you, and you're in me. Boy, you talk about pulling everything together. And he had to go because he had that body that can only be in one place at a time. I don't think I'm wrong about this. Think about that for a minute. Now, he could walk through walls. He could probably move pretty fast. He could definitely ascend. But it was the body now glorified, and it had holes in the hands and the feet. It had a scar in the side, didn't it? Yet it was a glorified body. Glorified, but it was a body. That's part of the great price that our Lord Jesus was willing to become like you and I, divine yet man. Whew. I tell you, you get to thinking about what Jesus really did to secure our salvation. Was a great price paid. But he's still as much God as he ever has been. Amen. Praise the Lord. When you come to the Father, come in his name, in Jesus' name. Ask anything, and the Father will give it to you, and your joy will be full. Listen, put the thought out of your mind about, I don't reckon I'm worth coming to God and asking him anything. Well, I'd feel that way just of myself. But when we know we're coming in Jesus' name and on what he did, and we're there because of that, well, then that gives us every right to be there and ask what we're asking. Because of what he did. Not what I did, what he did. Because we believed. Amen. Bless his name. He'd give us, like one preacher said, he'd give us power of attorney. Come in my name. Amen. Come in my name. I want you to stand. I don't want to.